In October 2019, the first ever International Conference on Environmental Peacebuilding was convened by the Environmental Peacebuilding Association at the University of California at Irvine. More than 250 people from 40 countries attended, practitioners, researchers, journalists, donors, policymakers, students, and activists. You're listening to Friday Podcasts from the Wilson Center's Environmental Change and Security Program. Over the next few weeks, we'll be featuring interviews with experts, practitioners, and leaders on environmental peacebuilding captured by ECSP on the edges of the conference. I'm Lauren Reese, and in today's episode, we'll hear from Casimiro Olavida, a former natural resources management consultant with the USAID-funded Philippine Environmental Governance Project and current watershed protection project manager at the Sarangani Energy Corporation in the Philippines. Casimiro, thank you so much for being with us here today. You know, you have a really rich background in forestry in the Philippines, so I wonder if you could start by telling us what brings you to an international conference on environmental peacebuilding.
Well, I think I have to provide you with some background on my education. I studied at UP Los Baños, University of the Philippines at Los Baños. First 2 years forest ranger course. And then I took the Bachelor of Science in Forestry. And then after that, I worked with the Philippine Department of Environment and Natural Resources for 3 years. And then I transferred to the University of the Philippines after working 3 years with DENR. And I took my Master of Science in Forestry while working at the Forestry Development Center of the Philippines. It's also with under UP Los Baños. And after that, I continue working with Forestry Development Center, doing forest policy research for the Philippine Department of Environment and Natural Resources. And then I took my doctorate degree in forestry again. Mm-hmm. But in my first year, I did not finish my first semester because my mentor from USAID in Manila challenged me to resign from my work and go to the ground and be part of the development in Mindanao, because I have been teaching and doing research for the last 7 years or 10 years, starting with DNR, and it's time to get your hand
dirty
and go to Mindanao. And I thought I did not initially accept his challenge, because Mindanao is scary, my work is going to be scary. But I then realized that maybe it's time for me to go to the field, and I will be working with Development Alternatives Incorporated. It's a U.S.-based company, a consulting firm based in Bethesda. So they have this project with the USAID, contract with USAID, to implement the Natural Resources Management Program with the DNR. And the idea is, the objective of the project was to test methods on forest management, like community-based, because for several decades, our forest resources were being managed by capitalists, rich individuals, maybe around 22 individuals only, 22 families in the Philippines, managing several million hectares of forest. And USAID invested so much money, grant given to the Philippines through DAI, to test community-based forest management programs and see if community-based approaches will work. And we helped the Philippine government to craft some policies. Our consultants, senior consultants, were preparing policies, and our work in the field is to have this consulted, have this reviewed at the lowest level possible, and then ladderize from the lowest form of our society, the sitio, and then the barangay, and then municipal, provincial, regional, national. And at the DNR level, we have it at the municipal level, at the provincial level, the regional level. So it's a basically participatory process of doing policies for Philippine government to implement the community-based forest management program. Now, after this five-year work with USAID, 1995 to year 2000, our mentors, colleagues at USAID, they were preparing another project. It's called Philippine Environmental Governance Project. But before that, while waiting for the project, we were engaged into another project of USAID, but it's basically more scary. Why? Because it's going to be an assistance to former Moro National Liberation Front combatants. So by the word itself, combatants. Well, it took me around maybe close to 2 years. I was engaged and I worked in that project for close to 2 years. And our work was to deliver tangible livelihood assistance to former combatants, MNLF, and their families.
Was this to help ensure that they wouldn't go back into combat?
Yes, to make sure that they will adhere to the provisions of the 1996 peace agreement of the Philippine government and the MNLF leadership, and that they will no longer go back to their armed struggle. So our banner at the time is from farms, you know, from arms to farms. No? And at that time, we were also enticing the MILF at that time, who are not yet into negotiation with the government, to start negotiating with the government because we are delivering livelihood assistance already to the MILF combatants who entered into peace agreement with the government. So the work was very rewarding but scary, because these guys are not used to the process of following so much protocols in getting projects. No, when they ask project, where is our project? With all the guns, you know, I received two or three death threats in a month. Oh. Because they are pressuring me to give them projects. And I told them, no, there are rules that we have to follow. And these rules were agreed with your commanders. So if you will not follow the rules prepared by us and your commanders, then you have to fight with your commanders. So what do you want? Follow the rules or fight your commander? Okay, sir, I will follow the rules. After close to 2 years, I worked with the Philippine Environmental Governance Project, funded again by the USAID. And at this time, we were now engaging the local government. Because before, we went directly to the community, organized them to let them know how to manage the forest. So for 5 years, it's basically 10 years because there was a program, first phase. And then I entered into the second phase of the program. So it's a 10-year program of the USAID for community-based forest management program. And basically, since the community, we were assisting communities and we organized them, but one thing is lacking, governance. So when that was January 2001 or December 2001, we started the Philippine Environmental Governance Project, and we now focus on local government. No? So I was the subject matter specialist for forestry for the entire Mindanao at that time, and senior natural resources management consultant for USAID, also under DAI, and we were doing forest land use planning. So the forest land use planning that we were doing, we're basically participatory in nature. And of course, we have to produce materials, help the Philippine government do policies, issue policies, to support the engagement and to support the program. And in this work, again, we also involve the stakeholders that also includes former MNLF, even the MILF on the ground and the NPA, because you're doing a forest land use planning on a participatory process, transparent, accountability, you know, the governance principle. And we have to involve everyone in the forest, whether they are formal or informal, rebel or not. So it's basically participatory, all sectors, multidisciplinary, multi-level. So 10 years, we produced the manual for the Philippine government. We produce, we help them craft policies. And at one time, one of the companies in our in areas where we operate, Sarangani province, that's the Alcantara group, involved us in their consultation. They're doing their, you know, their they have power plants, and they, we recommended to them that maybe you have to do some reforestation because you'll be using water, and to ensure water security, you have to reforest, you have to rehabilitate. Now, after 10 years, this company engaged me, and hired me for initially for 3 months to let give them direction on how to implement this watershed project. And during this time, we were at that time finalizing our book with Helen Goldman, Helen Yang, Lisa Goldman. I think the Environmental Law Institute initiated that production of the book, and it was published. And Carl Brutz saw that these authors can be part of the group, because what we were doing is are basically related to environmental peace building. Our work lies at the crossroads of environment, peace, conflict, security. Because when I came to Mindanao in 1995, we were suspected of, you know, supporting the government because we are funded by American taxpayers. They're thinking of different things. And so what I told them is, you know, I believe USAID is serious in helping you. These are American taxpayers' money. We wanted to help you. You have your own struggle, but we have the same objective. You want to help the poor. Now you are NPA. You want to help the poor. You want to alleviate their lives, do some poverty alleviation, protect the environment. We have the same objectives. Now, can you help us use this American taxpayers' money and make sure that the money will be used on the projects, and that assistance will really go to the lowest level of the community rather than opposing us? Okay, we will help. Now, I told them, this is the scary thing. This project is serious. It will help the community. If you do not believe me, you can kill me anytime. But I was scared, and I was praying, Lord, I hope they will not believe me. And I hope they will not kill me, because I still have a family. But, you know, just to show your seriousness, your commitment, because I have a passion for my work, love for God, love for country, love for my work, and compassion for people, for the poor communities. And these guys, people in the uplands with arms, saw this. So since 1995 up to this present time, my work is still at the crossroads of this environmental peace building thing. Conflict, peace, security.
When we were speaking earlier, you talked about staying with the community, embedding yourself into the community, and really becoming a community member in the process of developing trust and being able to work effectively with the community to manage the natural resources in the vicinity. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Well, it started when my mentor assigned me to the hinterlands of Mindanao, the Tubuli tribes, and then the Tasadais. I was tasked to help them prepare the ancestral domain management plan. And part of the work is to look into the indigenous knowledge systems and practices of the communities on how they manage the forest. And one thing I realized, because I came from a rural area, I was raised from a rural area, is to immerse rather than stay in hotels. I did not use my privilege of staying in hotels. I did not spend USAID allowance. I stayed in the mountain. I stayed in the houses of the leaders, key leaders, from one place to another. Every leader, I sleep with them. I talk with them. I have to identify the allies and those who are opposing, and why are they opposing? What do they want? What alternatives do they want? So trying to know the culture, the leadership, the influencer, oppositor, you know, staying with them, you will learn a lot. So, and I love staying with the community. And I realized after doing that for 16 years, I read a book on community organizing. It's that the first step in community organizing, there are 12 steps. First step is immersion. No? I realized I was doing it. I love my work. I love staying with the community. And since 1995, even up to now, it is really my passion to live with them. Mm-hmm. And maybe the leaders saw my heart, that I really have a heart for them.
Can I ask you, you went in to sort of see if this community-based approach to forest management would work in the context of Mindanao. So what did you find, that it was successful?
Yes, but the problem is when the assistance was, stop or, project-based, assistance is no longer there. Mm-hmm. The old guys, we were not trained on community-based forest management. The politics, when there are new leaders, another personnel will be assigned. So when it was turned over to the DNR, there were some problems with regards to implementation because they go back to the old ways.
they sort of lost the historical knowledge.
Yeah.
When somebody left the position.
Yeah. Okay. So our lessons learned there was that it has to be, there must be some sort of governance. That's why when we implemented the Philippine Environmental Governance Project, that was the missing link.
Okay.
You have to link it with government.
Like a system.
So that activities will be funded.
Okay.
Because if you have a community-based forest management program, you have a plan. Mm-hmm. And that plan must be implemented. But if you have no money, then you have to align your plan with the government. And then the government will probably finance some of your plans.
Right.
So when we did the ECOGOV, Philippine Environmental Governance Program, we call it ECOGOV. We now integrate all those plans with the forest land use plan of the local government.
Okay.
They have their comprehensive land use plan. Mm-hmm. So that it's going to be sustainable. So that's the missing link. And I think with the presence of the local government, the DNR, because today in the Philippines, we now call it convergence initiatives. All the government agencies, mm-hmm. working in together in one place. They have identified convergence areas where they can work together. Okay. So all the community-based approaches that we piloted in the past are now being absorbed and being assisted now. These guys are now being assisted by the local governments and the DNR. And we have several indicators of improved management, which we also develop with USAID.
Okay.
So we make sure that those ingredients are in place before we leave.
Are they kind of like guidelines?
Yeah, guidelines. Okay. Like, for instance, that all the tenured areas, there is no open access. All the tenured areas have their own management plan, that they have budget for the implementation, they have functional structure to implement that, and that there is monitoring and evaluation, internal, external, feedback, and that there is there are some support coming from the local government with regards to technical, technicians, so regular technicians on agriculture, forestry, health, are there in the community, you know, and that their projects are part of the plan. So there are basically 12 indicators that we develop under the USAID project.
That are now integrated into the
government process. So that we can now say that the management of forests are now improved, because it's hard to say it's sustainable.
Sure.
So improved based on these indicators.
You've been listening to Friday Podcast from the Environmental Change and Security Program. For more information, follow us on Twitter at New Security Beat and visit newsecuritybeat.org.